The Holy Gospel. On page 94 in the Church Bible, New Testament, page 94. The Holy Gospel is written in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, beginning at the first verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but came to testify to the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, and the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become the children of God. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to you indeed, O Lord, for every portion of your holy word, for this great word of truth. Praise to you, O Lord, for the two portions of your word which have been read this morning as part of our worship. Now, Lord, look upon us. Grant us, we pray, the hearing ear, the understanding mind, the receptive heart, and the obedient will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We're following this business of favorite proverbs. And you might well ask, since this is the third time I've preached in this series on proverbs, how can it be called my favorite proverb? Well, I've resisted that from the start. A favorite proverb. And my favorite this morning for you is the portion that Ian read to us. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 1. Now, don't turn to that if you don't want to. But you will be helped if you do. And you'll find it on page 648. 648 in the Old Testament section of our church Bible. So you suit yourself. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 1, my child. Do you know the expression, give it your best shot? It's one of the idiomatic ways of saying, popular, slangy way of saying, do your very, very best. Now, my best shot is my best shot, and your best shot is yours. My best is the best I can manage, your best is the best you can manage. Give it your best shot. I just want you, if you will, please, to hold that expression and its meaning. Just hold it in your mind, and we'll come back to it in a moment. Give it your best shot. But I want you to start with me. I really love this. I want you to start with me at those opening words of verse 1. My child. Isn't that good? It's so loving, isn't it? It's even more personally loving if it's translated literally, as I think Ian did when he read, my son, my son. And of course, in these broader days, we would also say, my daughter. When we were expecting our first baby, who is now 60. Oh, dear Stephen, last Monday he was 60. No, not last Monday, beginning of the month, the 9th of August, he was 60. When we were expecting our first baby, people said, what do you want, a boy or a girl? And so it was. We said, as young couples do, well, honestly, we don't mind. What we'd like is a healthy, happy, and what used to be called a bouncing baby. Well, actually, the strange thing is that babies do bounce. Both of our boys in their young days fell quite heavily on their heads without any apparent damage to this day. So we said, no, we don't mind. Boy or girl, healthy baby, bouncing baby, take what comes. Now, the thing is, once the baby was born, we never said, I noticed, to anybody, we've had a little boy. We said, we've had a son. You're expecting a baby. You say, I'd like a boy, and you find you have a son. And when our third precious one was born, we longed to have a girl, and we found we had a daughter. Now go back to verse 1. My son. How loving it is, isn't it? Here, you can almost see this caring father. He either has the little boy on his knee with one arm round him, or he's put both arms round him. My son. And he's going to instruct him in the ways of the Lord. Now, if you read through the book of Proverbs, in one way it's like walking on Dartmoor. A lot of Dartmoor is littered with lumps of granite. And those single lumps of granite are telling you that underneath there's a great granite bedrock which supports the whole moor. And sometimes that granite bedrock, as the geologists say, upthrusts. And you get a great tor crowned with massive granite rocks. And that massive outcrop is telling you what's underneath, what the whole thing is about. Now, the book of Proverbs is like that. Every now and again, the Lord pops up like a block of granite. And when he pops up, he's telling you what supports the whole thing. That this is not a chance collection of wise sayings and wholesome thoughts and best thoughts for the day and general truths for the guidance of life. This is divine reality. This is a chunk off the bedrock of granite. This is a piece of the Lord's teaching. So when we're given the picture of some long past father with his boy on his knee and his arm round him, saying to him, "My son, this is the way for you to go," we can expand that image. We can enlarge it. And we can say, we know who that father is. And we know who that loved son is. It's the great heavenly Father himself. And he's put his arm round me. And he says to me, "My son." He has made us his children. Now that's a relationship which, once it's formed, is eternal. Even if you didn't like your father, you're still his child. And even if he didn't like you, you're still his child. Once the relationship is established, it's eternal. I do grasp that, dear friends. He has made us his children. And if you want to break up that word children, he has made us individually his sons, his daughters. And he takes us lovingly to himself, here in his holy word. And, oh dear, he puts his arm round us so lovingly and he says, "My son, my daughter, my child." It's so important. It's ultimately important because it's our guarantee of heaven. "Now we are the children of God," says John in his epistle. Doesn't yet appear what we shall be. We can only guess at that. But we know when he appears, we will be like him. All the children of God will be like the Son of God. That's our guarantee of eternity. That's the truth to rest upon as we think about the day of our death. Still my child, still my son, still my daughter. Isn't that wonderful? And the loving arm still round us. And we're aware of all our faults and failings, all our shortcomings, all the things we've done wrong, all the good things we've never done. And the arm is still round us. My child, my son, my daughter. That's why I chose that gospel to read this morning with that marvelous, marvelous verse. To as many as received him, could you go on from there? To as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. When we receive Jesus and believe in him, we are at that moment the children of God. And the New Testament expands that thought a little bit to the reality of adoption. We are his sons by adoption. How very wonderful that is. You know the father who came home and found his 4-year-old digging around the gooseberry bush. Do you know that one? And he said to him, oh, he said, are you looking for another little brother? No, he said, I've just put the first one back. If you have a baby in the ordinary course of events, he may want a son and get a daughter. He may want a daughter and get triplets. You've got to take what comes. In the nicest possible sense of the word, you're lumbered. But if you adopt, well, it used to be, you would say, I'll have that one. But even today, if you adopt, you say, yes. Yes, we'll have that little girl. Yes, we'll have that little boy. There's that element of deliberateness and choice. There's a yes attached to it. My child, my son, my daughter. I've been longing all week to say this to you. It's so precious. A really favorite bit in Proverbs. My child. So quickly, very, very quickly, look at the rest of the verses, because they all hang together. In the first 9 chapters of Proverbs, there's a lot of sequence. Chapter 10 onwards, there are a lot of bits and bobs. But these verses, they all belong together. Look at it, my child. He looks for his children to live a certain sort of life. There's a family characteristic. I remember one of my aunts saying, I think it was Aunt Polly, saying about a family who lived up the road, and this is back in the 1930s, you need to remember. I remember her saying about a family up the road, and her face was absolutely wreathed in contempt. They eat out of tins. Oh, I don't know what you think of us. We buy our custard in packets. Oh, she couldn't be doing with that. No. That was their characteristic as a family. They ate out of tins. The children of God, oh listen, beloved, the children of God have a characteristic. My child, if you accept my words and treasure up my commandments, the children of God and the Word of God. And again, you see, just as we enlarged the picture of the Father with the Son to the Heavenly Father with you and me, so we enlarge this picture. That Father of long ago, he is taking what God has revealed and passing it on to his Son. Deuteronomy 6, if you want the reference. To us. Oh, this book. My son, if you accept my words and treasure up my commandments. Treasure up, not in the sense of treasuring them with a special delight, but of keeping them safe, storing them away. So that when we read our Bibles in the morning, we give it our best shot. And it's not just a matter of moving the bookmarker on. It's a matter of saying, now, out of this reading, I'm going to store away a little thought for the day. I'm giving it my best shot. The Father, the Child, and the Word. The Father, the Son, and the Word, the Father, the Daughter, and the Word, my child. Read on, verse 2. Make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. We're giving it our best shot. We're not reading thoughtlessly, but attentively, in a concentrated manner. Oh, dear ones, don't be put off. My best shot is my best shot. Your best shot is your best shot. You're not to ape me any more than I'm to ape Andy or Rob. We each give it our best shot. The Father, the Child, and the Word of God. Attentively. Verse 3. If you cry out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, soaking our Bible reading with prayer, Lord, how can I understand your word unless you explain it to me? I have a picture in my mind of that great and wonderful man, George Muller, in Bristol. He founded orphan houses not because he cared for orphans, though I expect he did. He was a most loving man. He founded orphan houses not because he cared for orphans, but to prove to the world that God answers prayer. And at one time he had 2,000 orphans depending on him for daily food, daily clothing, daily teaching, daily housing. 2,000 little mouths to be fed in answer to prayer. And that dear and wonderful George Muller, how did he begin his day? He began his day with an open Bible on his little desk. And he knelt and prayed over what he was reading. And he turned what he was reading into prayer, so that he was covering his Bible reading with crying out to God for understanding. This is the mark of the family of God. This is what the child of God is to be like, treasuring up the word, paying attention to what is written, crying out for understanding. Verse 4, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures. Isn't that a marvelous picture? So different from the sort of desultory Bible reading that I often do. An intense search for the pure gold of God's truth. Giving it our best shot. And verse 5 says, then, and that I want to tell you, that word then is very emphatic. At that time, if this is true, if you are accepting my words, if you are paying attention to my word, if you are crying out for understanding, if you are searching as though you are searching for gold, then you will understand. Now remember, you're not giving it my best shot, you're giving it your own. You're giving it what only you can do. And you can quietly claim that word then. In fact, you can turn it into a word addressed to the Lord now. Lord, I've given your word my best shot. Now, give me understanding, because you've promised. And verse 6 is the explanation. Do you see the word at the beginning of verse 6? For. It means because. It explains. For the Lord gives wisdom. He has it all. He's like the manager and owner of a great supermarket. He has it all. What do you want? Packet of custard? Here you are. It's all there. Oh, if only we sit with his arm round us, my child, treasuring his words, attentive to what's written, crying out for understanding, seeking as for gold and silver. He'll make us understand because he gives. He gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So will you first of all savor the fact, I am a child of God? And secondly, will you, along with me, live the characteristic life of the child of God, our equivalent to eating out of tins, feeding on the word of God? Will you? Will you give it your best shot? That's what the children of God are like. Amen.